Okay, Coach Hepler, you're a couple of days away from your second fall event, which is at the Inverness Intercollegiate in Toledo, Ohio. This is an event, if I'm not mistaken, you've never taken a team to. I think there's been an NCAA championship there that you've taken that you've had a team in, but not this event. Am I correct on that?
Correct. Yeah, the first NCAA where match play was instituted was here. I don't know if that's, somebody mentioned last night, as many as 12 or 13 years ago. I don't know. I can't remember when match play started.
Yeah. And that was, and we did not make match play that year, correct?
No, we were, I think we started the last day, maybe 15th or 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And the front line was playing a couple shots harder than the back. So we started on the front and we played really, really well. And got right on the number. And I thought, okay, going to the back, we can make some birdies. But we just did not make enough. And I think we missed by two or three when it came down at the end. My best memory of this one is David Dragoo shot 67 the last round, I think, of his career at an NCAA tournament. So, you know, we just barely missed here.
Yeah. The other day, you kind of waxed poetic a little bit about the golf course, the venue itself. I know it's been a major championship venue, I think, six times. U.S. Opens and PGA Championships. What do you remember about the golf course, and do you think it'll be different? Do you think it's different now than it was when you were there before?
Some kind of renovation. Is that just taking out a bunch of trees like Oakmont did? I don't know. But one of the best courses I think we've ever played as a program. I just remember it being, there's a lot of variety, different kind of holes, really, really hard. But it was a positive experience. And as you know, we try to come up this way at least once a year because of just like last year getting sent to a regional in Columbus with the grasses and the weather and everything. So been trying to get to either here or we've played Olympia Fields a couple times. I just think it's important to take our guys who don't see this stuff all the time at least once during the year in case you end up there in a similar situation at a regional.
Where would you rank this in terms of a tournament venue compared to some of the other places you might normally go?
Well, I would think it's in the top six or seven, I would think. Mm-hmm. If my memory's right, which maybe is lacking these days.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's one of the best places we've ever played.
Yeah. In the turnaround from the first tournament, you did 72 holes of qualifying, correct?
Yes.
It produced a pretty different lineup than you took out to Arizona for the first one. What's kind of your overview or your takeaways from the way qualifying went, and does it speak to a competitiveness within your group that, you know, that your upperclassmen are being pushed by younger players at this point?
I think you can just say everybody's being pushed by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this will not be, I think we may end up playing a lot of people through the year. Qualifying is very competitive. The freshmen have come in and pushed, and obviously Hiroshi got a spot, and Aiden Tran lost in a playoff to get to come up here. So they've added a lot of competitors to the thing, and then the guys that have been here still, that some have played and have not played, have gotten better. That's evident by Aiden Kramer, you know, qualifying and making the team, and so I think the depth is such that we'll probably see a lot of this, maybe even well into the spring, of different people getting to play. The goal is to have it so competitive that nobody gets on the bus not playing well, and I think that's going to be the case. And you know, sometimes it's nice to get into a rhythm with the same guys, but this is one of the deeper teams I think we've had, so this will probably happen more than once.
You mentioned Aiden Tran. He actually qualified for the first event, and this time you have Hiroshi qualifying to be in the starting lineup. Talk a little bit about those two guys and what they have brought to the team so far.
Well, I think their junior careers pointed to something like this. Obviously, Hiroshi stepped away for 2 years to go into the military, but he was a top 20 guy coming out of high school. And then Aiden's had all kinds of national success. So it's just sometimes a function of, how do you get on the ground fast and get running, and they're both terrific students. So that's been a pretty easy adjustment for them, I think. But that's just what happens when you, if you can find young people successfully on a national level, they're ready to go, and they look like they believe and see themselves being successful and playing, you know, on the team. So I just think you can watch their belief and how they go about it, and they look at their eyes tell you that they think that they can play.
Can you give it a little bit of an evaluation of what kind of games that they have? How do they play?
El Hiroshi drives the ball really straight. He makes virtually no mistakes. And so, you know, when you play at East Lake and he can drive the ball in the fairway for 2 days and hit a lot of greens in regulation, he's become a better putter. But he's just very steady and it's very simple. And he makes golf pretty easy. Aiden probably has a little more length to what he's doing. May take a few more chances, but he hits the golf ball a lot hole high into greens and ends up with a lot of birdie looks. And just really strong, and they're both athletic. And obviously, Hiroshi did a lot of push-ups in Singapore, so he was stronger than he was in high school. Being in the military, and Aiden has worked out before he got here, and so they've kind of shown up both with the physical and golf skill sets, I think, to be able to compete right away.
Connor Howell, first tournament, he was a pick for you. Then he winds up being your high finisher and exempt for this week. How have you seen his progression? This is his senior year redo for COVID. How have you seen his progression from end of last year to now?
Well, he had a pretty good summer. He's up to, I think, maybe 59 in the world now. I looked the other day, I think, and he's just gotten better every year. I think his challenge now going out the door being his final year is to not to try too hard. You know, he wants to be successful and be an All-American in some things and do all that kind of stuff. And so for someone who just cares that deeply, how do you step back for 4 or 5 hours when you play your round and just hit shots? And I think that's going to be the key to his year. Can he just, again, not look forward, not look at things and just whatever the wedge is or the 8-iron is or the drive is and just somehow get into what he's doing for 4 or 5 hours? And incredible skill set, really good player. I don't think anybody's put more into their career since they've been here, whether that's practice, the weight room, or everything he's done. So those guys are great if you can get them just to turn the volume down just a little bit when they play, because sometimes he just tries too hard. But again, I don't think anybody has put more into their time here than he has, and certainly rooting for him to have a good senior year.
The other two guys in your lineup this week are Christo and Benjamin Ruder. Rudy didn't qualify for the first event. Christo didn't play well in the first event, but they both played really well in your qualifying. What do you expect as a bounce back for those two guys this week?
Well, I think Christo was disappointed with what happened in Arizona, obviously, and it was probably as engaged as I've seen him in a qualifier. It looked like he kind of decided that he was going to try to win the thing and played really, really well. Obviously, Benjamin was in Paris, really didn't get a chance to qualify for the first tournament. So had a mediocre summer, I think he would admit. But he's a competitive guy and got up and down on the 70th hole from about 140 yards for par and birdied 18 to get in the playoffs. So he always brings energy, has incredible belief, and just doesn't give in ever. Yeah, he's excited to be back out playing again, and I think he really enjoys the team atmosphere. I think he remembers the last time in Ohio. It was maybe his career best finish at regional, so I think he's excited to be back here again, and again, the first event, and we're in Paris, and we're everywhere, and I think now for a couple of weeks we've all been together and kind of got into a routine, so hopefully we'll play a little better.
This is the first of two events pretty close together, but they're both 36 hole, 18 hole type events. You've never been a big fan of 36, 18 type events, but you're playing two of them. Is there Has your stance on that softened, or is it just because these are important enough events that you wanted to get into?
It hasn't softened. It's hard to play all 3 days. I don't know if there's enough of them to do that anymore. Sometimes golf courses just don't want to give up the extra day, but these two fields, these two golf courses, one's hosted major championship and the other hosts a PGA Tour event annually. Couldn't really pass those up based on the fields. And the golf course, so sometimes you got to go do what you do. And now with the ACC, that first day being 36 holes, it doesn't hurt to do that a few times.
Right. Well, good. Well, good luck this week.
Thank you.